Court has six appeals on its calendar today. Three are submitted on the briefs. The other three will be argued this morning. Two of them will be argued in person. One appeal will be argued by video. The first appeal is Labonte v. United States, appeal number 21-1432. Mr. Fisher, please go ahead whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. Alexander Fisher for Mr. Labonte. Robert Labonte is an injured combat veteran who served honorably in Iraq and returned home with a traumatic brain injury and a case of post-traumatic stress disorder that one of his doctors called the worst that she'd ever seen. We're here because for the last nearly two decades now, Mr. Labonte has not received the full extent of the benefits that he's owed. Because of an incorrect and overbroad interpretation of a fairly narrow statutory provision. So that takes us to 15.
Let me ask you, if I could please, and I'm sorry to jump in on you right at the start of your argument, but time is fleeting, as you know. The Court of Federal Claims said that in order to change the record, you'd have to change the DD-214 form, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then the court went along and said that the board did not have authority to do that because of the language of 1552F1, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
But looking at it, don't you really have to change the underlying record in terms of an Army record before you even get to the DD-214 form? In other words, I'm thinking of what's really, I guess, the second argument in the briefing before us. You argue at the end of the brief that the Army, that the DD-214 form, in order to grant Mr. Labonte the relief he seeks, did not have to be altered. You could just go and change the underlying Army record, okay? That's the argument, isn't it?
That's close, Your Honor. The argument here is that there is no, I want to clarify what you mean by the underlying record. The point here is that there's no statutory or regulatory authority that actually requires the DD-214 to be changed in order to grant Mr. Labonte the medical retirement he seeks.
But for someone to be, just leaving aside this case for a moment, say someone is honorably discharged from the Army, and then they go back and they say 5 years later, they say, no, wait a minute, I should have been retired with disability, okay? And they go to the ABCMR. And the board looks at it and says, yes, okay? And they say, Army, you correct your records to show disability retirement. What records are being corrected? There are certain records in the Army, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So in other words, after those Army records are corrected, and our hypothetical person has now disability retirement, at that point, is it not the case that after the Army records have been corrected, the DD-214 form would be revised?
Well, so, Your Honor, what would have to happen is Mr. Labonte...
I'm just in the hypothetical. Leave this up. In the one I gave you.
In the hypothetical, Your Honor, the service member would enter the PEB-MEB process, and then only at that point, having been determined on the merits that that person does deserve medical retirement, then the DD-214 may be corrected.
But there would be some record in the Army, would there not, that would show a correction of the record, right?
Your Honor, I'm not sure exactly which documents Your Honor is referring
to. Well, I'm thinking that because we were given several citations to correction board decisions, and all of those correction board decisions seem to show the Army or the correction board, whether it was Naval or Army, changing some service record. So that, I mean, am I wrong in thinking that there is some underlying service record, whether it's Army or Navy, that gets corrected?
Your Honor, we don't know of any underlying records that may apply to. However, Your Honor's question does point to a critical element here of this case, which is that Mr. Labonte's DD-214, to the extent that it would ever need to be changed, we're actually talking about two separate boxes on his form. I do want to take one step back, though, before we get into sort of the nitty-gritty of which boxes we're talking about. And we need to focus a little bit, I think, on 1552F. We should start by just talking about whether this document, the DD-214, is even captured within 1552F at all. And clearly, I think it is not. So 1552, we should just begin with A, the sort of broad authority granted in 1552, which gives the Secretary of the Army the power, acting through the board, to make...
Can you just go straight to 1552F?
Certainly,
I mean, that's where I'm having a problem and trying to understand how to differentiate records of court-martial from related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases. And the problem here is we have a lot of terms, whether they are in statutes or regulations, that are very, they sound close to each other, but they also aren't exactly identical. For example, records of court-martial, court-martial record, record, record of trial. And trying to reconcile them all or piece them together in some kind of logical way feels like a very uncomfortable exercise. It feels almost random to try to proclaim that records of court-martial means one thing, court-martial record, and doesn't mean other things, record of trial or record. Can you please try to walk through all four of these terms?
Well, Your Honor, I think actually those distinctions can be captured fairly simply, which is to say that 1552F was written specifically to protect documents that, if altered, would in some way undermine or impugn the integrity of the military justice system. So the critical distinction here is that we have categories of documents that arise from within the military justice system, and then outside of those, there are documents generated in the military that are not captured by 1552F.
We understand the purpose, and this purpose makes sense. What we are left with, though, is the text of the statute. And now we're trying to differentiate what are records of court-martial and what are related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases.
And bear in mind that both sides have an argument that that purpose is satisfied or not satisfied in the 214. So setting aside the purpose argument, if you could address Judge Chen's question.
Can I make sure I understand your question, Your Honor? So
yep.
Your question is about the specifics of what counts within a record of court-martial and what counts within the related administrative records?
Right. And I know you were trying to map records of court-martial onto the regulation, court-martial record, but then there's also something called record of trial, and then there's also the statute, which says record. And how do we know, can we have any confidence that records of court-martial is how you choose to map it onto these various different other terms that are either in a statute or a regulation?
Well, Your Honor, we certainly agree that across the code, these terms are used in a sort of imprecise and sort of difficult to parse way between many of the different statutes. In this particular case, I think we could use a fairly clear distinction thinking about records of court-martial as being those that actually arise from the court-martial trial process itself, and related administrative records being those that are generated still as part of the military justice process, but outside of the actual context of the court-martial itself. One example, for instance, might be the charge form that happens actually, you know, documenting what the service member is charged with before the proceedings of the court-martial itself actually begin. That's plainly a document that is part of the military justice system, and if amended or altered, would, you know, constitute the board sort of exercising too much authority. And that's what 1552F really cabins and stops. So that's sort of our affirmative.
Do you have other examples? I know the amici provided examples, but do you have other examples? And what is your legal authority for the argument you made? Which I think your argument makes some sense, but I want to know what are you relying just on the language of the statute itself? Or do you have other authority you're relying on?
Well, there are a few authorities that I might point to, Your Honor, and I direct Your Honor's attention to our opening brief at 31 to 33, as well as the military law practitioner's amicus brief from 20 to 22, listing a large number of these such documents. And there are a couple of authorities I think we may point to. You know, of course, there's no statute that lists explicitly all of the potential documents that may constitute each of these terms. But we've got a lot of other places we can look. I mean, one point I would make, for instance, is that in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the Manual for Court-Martial, and Army Regulation 2710, which implements the Uniform Code of Military Justice in a regulatory fashion, in these hundreds of pages, nowhere does it even mention a DD-214. this document plainly exists outside of that, that universe. Now, I know that my time is running a bit short, so there's one final point that I'd like to make, if I may.
Mr. Fisher, we're going to give you a little more time because I think this appeal needs a little more time, so go ahead.
Thank you. So the point that I was going to turn to next was that there's some debate in our briefing about the finality of Mr. Labonte's conviction. I want to say two points on that. The first is that no matter, this panel can rest assured that no matter what happens today, Mr. Labonte's conviction will remain in place. For the rest of his life, this conviction will remain in place. If he applies to a job that requires him to check a box, whether he's ever been convicted of a crime, he must check that box. It will show up on background checks for him for the rest of his life.
If it's not on the 214 form, then where will there be evidence of his conviction? Will it be in any personnel file?
Yes, Your Honor. All of the documents from Mr. Labonte's court-martial proceeding itself, including the verdict form and documents such as those, will still bear his conviction. And the reason that this is important in this particular case is because it points to a distinction between Mr. Labonte's conviction on the one hand and his sentence on the other hand. This is critical because 1552F provide, or 1552A, excuse me, provides that the board may make corrections for the purpose of fixing error or injustice. Plainly, I believe injustice exists in this case, but error does as well. And that's because of this conviction-sentence distinction. Mr. Labonte's conviction remains in place. His sentence, however, he hasn't served for 10 years now. He was granted clemency, nearly 10 years. He was granted clemency in 2014. Now, a service member can't actually be discharged pursuant to a court-martial conviction. Court-martials can result in all sorts of other types of punishments, confinements, loss of pay, downgrading of pay grade, things like that. And there's some ambiguity between the briefing on these two sides. In the government's briefing, for instance, on pages 32, 34, 44, 55, and 56, it incorrectly refers to the reason for Mr. Labonte's discharge as his court-martial conviction. That's not so, however. It was his sentence, which he's no longer serving. And that's what's on the DD-214. The DD-214 refers to this sentence, this court-martial sentence. And that's why it's incorrect to have it there.
So, Bishop, your position is that in order to grant Mr. Labonte the relief he is seeking, his DD-214 form does not have to be changed.
Your Honor, that's correct. Before I move on, I just want to make sure, as I continue, will I still be able to reserve 5 minutes for the rebuttal?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. There is no statutory or regulatory provision that requires this to be removed. This, I think, is a significant hole in the government's briefing here. Neither in this court nor in the briefing before the court below has the government been able to point to any authority to support its assertion that, yes, something does require this notation to be removed.
And you have authority suggesting the opposite, right?
Well, Your Honor, this simply puts Mr. Labonte in exactly the same default position that he would be in regardless. So there's no affirmative statute that says yes, after being granted clemency, a service member now may seek medical retirement, is because the clemency grant itself returns the service member to the position of having the discharge that he now actually has. So any service member with the discharge status general under honorable, which Mr. Labonte now has, may seek medical retirement under 10 U.S.C. 1201.
I guess you're saying per that Army Regulation 635-40, he's now cleared all hurdles that are in the way under that regulation. And then I believe it's the statute is Section 1201. He meets all of those recited eligibility requirements, and so therefore he should have a clear path to benefits now, or to making a case for medical retirement.
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
All right.
I have one more very quick question for you, which is, do you know why the ADBR said that it lacked authority to change the narrative reason for Mr. Labonte's discharge? I mean, I've read the opinion, but it's a little unclear to me.
So the ADRB brought up that, we believe that was an administrative oversight on the part of the ADRB. They certainly, we think, could have amended the form in that way. And in fact, other decision review boards have done so in similar cases. We point in our briefing to the Navy. But
they did say they couldn't.
They did. However, Your Honor, in that particular case, the ADRB is enabled by a different statute. It's enabled by 10 U.S.C. 1553. So to the extent that the ADRB was interpreting anything in that opinion, it was interpreting a different statute, not actually the one that's before the court today, which is 10 U.S.C. 1552.
I did look at that statute. It still wasn't clear to me, but thank you for answering my question.
Certainly, Your Honor.
What if we agree with you that the claims court mistakenly believed that the form needed to be changed under that one field for a reason for separation in order to qualify for medical retirement? Could this court just reverse on that score and not address the 1552F question?
Yes, Your Honor.
These are alternative theories that you have.
They are. The reason I hesitated there to refer to them as alternative is because we think it should be changed. This notation, for reasons I've explained, is inaccurate, and beyond that, it is stigmatizing. Every day that this inaccurate old notation...
How is it inaccurate? As a historical fact, he was, in fact, court-martialed.
He was court-martialed, Your Honor, but the form...
Was the reason for his separation.
Respectfully, no, it was not, Your Honor. The court-martial sentence was the reason for his separation. The court-martial conviction or the court-martial proceeding itself was not. The court-martial conviction, which could have resulted in a number of other things, including, by the way, no sentence at all, was the actual reason for his separation. And so the form refers to Mr. LeBeau as the reason for his, the proximate reason for his discharge. It refers to his sentence, a sentence that he has not been serving since 2014. So to that extent, it's inaccurate.
And I hate to keep you around, but I'm going to be asking the government this too. The phrase related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases, as I understand your brief, the types of documents and items you are referring to that would qualify under that subcategory of 1552F all sound like substantive kind of documents and not necessarily what I would normally think of as being pure administrative documents. So what kind of work is the word administrative doing in your theory of what qualifies as a related administrative record?
Your Honor, I think probably what it's doing is making sure that Congress can write a statute that correctly captures the universe of documents they're going for. I'm not sure if we could...
I'm not sure what that means. I don't know how to write that into opinion.
Certainly, Your Honor. I think what the word administrative is doing is making sure that you can capture all of the documents within the military justice system that bear on or directly refer to proceedings of the court-martial in such a way that if those documents were changed, it would actually have, as the Senate said when it wrote this provision, it would have some legal bearing on the outcome of the court-martial. The purpose of 1552F was to ensure that documents wouldn't get amended that would overturn as a matter of law the findings of a court-martial. So what we're talking about here...
What's the purpose theory of how to understand the word administrative?
Well, I think that's
your argument.
I think it's both, Your Honor. I think the purpose certainly agrees. I think it aligns with what I'm describing here, which is the universe of documents that sort of surrounds the court-martial, but is not actually itself directly generated inside of the actual proceeding of the court-martial. So one document that I mentioned earlier, for instance, the charge form.
Okay, thanks so much. We will reserve the 5-minute rebuttal time for your colleague. I think it's time to hear from the government.
Thank you, Your Honors.
And let's, in view of the way the opening argument occurred, let's give Mr. Schroeder 20 minutes. See how...
May it please the Court. The Army discharged Mr. Labonte in 2008 as a direct result of his court-martial conviction. And he did not exhaust his criminal justice appeals, military justice appeals.
Can I ask you about Form 214?
Yes.
Assuming that this court agrees with the claims court that Mr. Labonte passes all requirements under Army Regulation 635-40, now that his sentence has been granted clemency, what authority is there for still denying him his right to make a claim for medical retirement, given that he does seem to, there's nothing blocking his claim under Section 1201 or Regulation 635-40?
Yes, because it's really what the court said, 1552F, that limits the authority with respect to the records of court-martial and related administrative records.
Right, that's a different avenue, I think, towards possibly getting a medical retirement, which is trying to actually correct that one field in Form 214 when it comes to reasons for separation. My question is asking, why does that field in Form 214 need to be amended at all in order for him to qualify to make a claim for medical retirement?
Well, as I understand, medical retirement and a discharge without being retired are two different things. And as everybody has agreed to in this case, the DD-214 is, it's not only just an administrative record, it's really the administrative record that reflects, you know, in one concise place, the service member's history.
But what is the legal authority for saying that what the content of the 214 has to be corrected before disability retirement could be awarded? I don't see any legal authority at all for that proposition.
Well, somebody has to actually, somebody has to change a record. The DD-214 just reflects
the history. Do you have a statute or a regulation or a memo or anything at all?
I don't have anything on that particular, I mean, the parties frankly didn't brief that particular issue that I
that
recall.
That issue was briefed, I think. I believe it was ruled on by the court below.
They said the regulatory is what we argued in the case below was that it provided, that regulation provided an independent ground for dismissal, and a court ruled against us, but then nonetheless dismissed the complaint for failure to state a claim. Because
what regulation are you relying on?
The
635-40?
I believe that was it, if I may.
Well, the judge said, though, that 635-40 was not an impediment to his seeking disability.
Yes, exactly.
So and then the judge went on and said, at 10 and 11 of the appendix, it's at 10 and 11 of the appendix, the judge went on and said, in order to get the relief to which he is claiming, the DD-214 form would have to be changed, correct?
Yes, and but among other records, because...
That's the question, though, that I think we're all kind of on the panel wrestling with. Why is it that the DD-214 form has to be changed? I mean, it goes back, I guess, to the question I was asking Mr. Fisher earlier. I said, just take it out of this situation. Someone's discharged, get an honorable discharge, and then they come back and they say, no, I should have been discharged with disability. I should have had a disability discharge or a medical discharge, if you will. And the Army Board for Correction of Military Records looks at that. And I've looked at these various board decisions that we were cited to. And the Army says, and the board says, the Army records should be changed to reflect a medical discharge. What Army records are we talking about?
Well,
there are more records than just the DD-214.
Well, one of the records is the court-martial.
No, leaving aside a situation. Just a case, an ordinary case, where someone wants their record changed and the board says, yes, it is changed to reflect a medical discharge or disability discharge. What Army record is changed? Because these decisions that we have, board decisions, all say the appropriate service record is changed. Are there particular Army records that get revised? Again, not talking about Mr. Labonte's case.
Well, there are, I don't know, again, the particular underlying records, but there are, for example, there could be medical records that I remember reading a case, I forget which one it was, where somebody fell on a submarine and there were medical records that reflected that he had an injured leg. So in other words, the
Army records would be revised to show that he was not fit for retention for medical reasons, right?
Yes, or it would declare that in a Board of Correction case.
And the Army would then change its record, right?
Well, I don't know if they actually go back and start changing those underlying records, but they issue a decision.
That's what the board decisions say. They say the appropriate Army records are to be changed.
Okay.
So now we're in the situation where an Army record has been changed to show disability retirement, correct? What then happens to the and that's happened without any reference to the DD-214.
Then the DD-214 would be, just as it was in this case, in that one block, where it showed bad conduct.
Right, but the DD-214 is now changed after the underlying Army records are changed, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well then the starting point is changing the underlying Army records. And that suggests the DD-214 form doesn't need to be changed to give the relief. It's just sort of, it reflects what the department has done.
Well, in this case, though, the department really can't. There was a court-martial. There was an appeal process. The Congress wishes to keep the criminal side separate from the Board of Correction side. So there was an appeal process. The time to challenge and raise any defenses was during the trial. Then their appeals. Mr. Labonte got his automatic appeal up to the highest Army level.
But as Judge Chen was pointing out in his colloquy with you, the regulation 635-40, I guess, you know the one I'm talking about, the court said that was not an impediment to granting him disability retirement, right?
Right, but that was in the context of that, you know, we used that as a defense on a motion to dismiss, arguing that it barred it. The fact that it's not an impediment simply means you can remove that as an impediment. The court did not declare that he had a right to obtain retirement under that provision.
But it's no bar to his retiring, to getting...
Not an independent...
I mean, the way it was, it looked to me like the way it was set up, the government said he can't get disability because of this, and the court said, no, that's wrong. And now that issue the parties aren't disputing that issue anymore.
No, what we're disputing is, and the court nonetheless dismissed the case, and the reason it dismissed the case is because there's a statutory prohibition. So this is a record correction case. There's no record to correct here. There's no injustice to correct because there was a conviction by court-martial. The appeals were not exhausted. There's no disagreement that essentially...
That issue isn't before us, right? I mean, I just want to make sure that you're... You're arguing the merits now, right now.
No, I'm not. What we're arguing is that court-martial conviction still stands.
Your argument is that the language pertaining, the language in 10 U.S.C. 1552F covers the 214, the DD-214, right?
Yes, and also that it prevents...
Is it specifically that it covers the DD-214, or is that it covers box 28 of the DD-214?
Well, I think to be more precise, it covers box 28 because there was a change on the DD-214.
That's
because
right.
the board can make issue a change for purpose of clemency, and in doing so.
So your point view is that this language that says records of court martial, when we're talking about related administrative records pertaining to court martial cases, it's not the whole document; it's just part of the document.
In this particular case, yes, because they've already changed the character of service, upgraded it. Which, by the way, allowed plaintiff to obtain veterans benefits.
It's interesting to me. I mean, you know, this statute, the way it's written, to me doesn't sound as if it sounds like they're prevented from having the power to alter documents, not parts of documents. Oh, this document you can alter some, and this document you can't alter it at all. That seems inconsistent with the language.
Well, in this case, if there was a typo in his name, they could correct that. In this case, they actually, again, in this
box. But I thought the statute said that they didn't have the power to correct records of court-martial and related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases.
Right, so
what under is your basis for saying that you can correct some of it but not all?
Because, you know, his birth date is not a record pertaining to a court-martial. And except for
so you're interpreting this as saying box 28 is a record pertaining to court martial because it says court martial.
Yes, it's specifically referencing the court martial.
Didn't both the board and the claims court conclude that this particular field in form 214 needed to be changed in order for Mr. Labonte to go through the disability processing process?
Well, the court concluded effectively that by saying the board lacks authority to do anything.
But if I'm right, that both the claims court and the board, among other things, ruled that this form, this particular field of the form, needed to be corrected, needed to be altered in order for Mr. Labonte to go through disability processing. And we disagree with that because no one has pointed to us any authority, regulatory or statutory or otherwise, for why that is, then couldn't we reverse on that ground alone?
Well, the question is, and it's a question of law, is whether 1552F bars the board from making the type of correction here.
Right,
which
but
is
that's. I understand why you want to keep talking about 1552F, and we still have some time to do that. But I'm talking about something that's different, separate, and distinct from 1552F. 1552F is Mr. Labonte's pursuit to have this particular field of Form 214 altered. My question right now with you is all about the claims court's ruling that he needs to have that field altered in order to get disability processing. And right now, I'm just being frank with you, I don't see why that's required, why that particular field needs to be corrected in order for the Army to start doing disability review for it.
Well, for one thing, the claims court noted that was a relief he sought in his complaint was for his court martial to be substituted for a.
I took a look at the briefing below, and he said, I have the briefing here from the, and he said you don't need to change it, among other things. To pick up on what Judge Chen was saying, in other words, why? If it's not, what is the authority for the propositions Judge Chen was saying that in order to get disability, you have to change the 214 form? What is the statutory, regulatory, or case authority? And I'm sort of picking up on what Judge Chen was saying.
Well, it comes back to F, and I understand, but that's the ground the court dismissed this on.
But where does F1, you're saying F1, 1552F1 is directed to more than just the DD-214 form?
Well, it's any administrative record under.
But it has to be administrative record relating to a court-martial.
Well, that's what this is. Whereas, and just going back to that, there are two types of records. One are the court-martial records, and one are administrative records that relate to the court-martial.
Well, you said earlier, though, that one of the records that would be changed would be maybe some medical records in a situation where someone got disability, and that's not relating to a court-martial.
That's in a normal non-court-martial context.
But most of these, what we, But if we don't have to change the DD-214 form and there's no impediment because of the court-martial, that's the kind of document you'd be talking about, isn't it?
Actually, the court-martial is carved in stone. So what he's really asking is to almost cancel the court-martial from his military records. DD-214 is supposed to accurately...
No, he's saying just, I want disability retirement. I mean, I understood Mr. Fisher to say that he'd like to have the DD-214 form changed, but it's not necessary for his relief that he's seeking if the board were to grant. He just wants disability or medical retirement.
But what still stands is the court-martial. There's still, even putting aside the form, there's a court-martial that's reflected on the form, but the form's only reflecting the reality of his service.
Is it your view that the court-martial prohibits the award of disability retirement regardless of the existence of the 214?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Because...
And what is your authority for that?
Again, F says it talks about related administrative records. So there's a court-martial. This was the ground for his discharge, was the court-martial.
Can I ask you the... I want to ask you about the Kurth memo for a minute. So the Kurth memo is something that specifically says that the board has the authority to change the characterization, the narrative reason, the separation code, all these different things, including box 28 that we've been talking about on form 214. What is your response to that?
My recollection of that is that these memos were not dealing with court-martial cases. I'm thinking of the Hagel memo. That this is a very narrow set of circumstances in which somebody is court-martialed and discharged not administratively but pursuant to the court-martial. So these memos address more run-of-the-mill cases, and in any event, are...
The Curta memo is talking about precisely the kinds of things that Mr. Labonte went through, PTSD, TBI.
And considering those things, again, considering that the severity of the misconduct should be considered... with any mitigating effects of the PTSD or their traumatic brain injury. I don't understand why it's your position that these aren't dealing with court-martial cases.
Because for one thing, these memos are post-date of this statute, but also those are the types of things that during sentencing at the court-martial can be brought up as a defense. It doesn't look like this memo is intended to...
This is guidance to the Military Discharge Review Board and the Board for Correction of Military Naval Records. That's who the memo is directed to. So it's not directed to the court-martial proceedings, but it's directed to some attempt to correct a military member's records afterwards.
Yes, as I look through this, I do not see a reference to cases in which somebody is convicted pursuant to the type of court-martial involved here, where the sentence is now final.
Okay, what about
final?
The Navy Corrections Board and the Air Force Corrections Board decisions? Does the government disavow the decisions by those boards where they have altered the field, the form from saying court-martial to secretarial authority?
Your Honor, there's
does the government disavow those decisions and say, no, those were wrongly decided? The Army Corrections Board here is doing it right, and so therefore necessarily those decisions by the Navy Corrections Board and Air Force Corrections Board, when they granted the correction to say secretarial authority instead of court martial, are wrong. Is that the government's position?
If to the extent they conflict, I mean, there's different types of court martials. There are different.
Or do you disagree with my reading of those board decisions by the Air Force and Navy Corrections Board as
granting this kind of correction that Mr. Labonte seeks here.
Well, none of them, for one thing, none of them granted military retirement, which is what he's seeking here.
No, but they all granted a change to the form so that it erased the word court-martial and replaced it with secretarial authority.
Yes,
am I misremembering those decisions?
No.
Okay, so is the government disavowing those decisions?
We don't know of any authority where that could have been done under the statutory reading by Judge Hertling in this case, and where if there is a conflict, reading the language of the statute must take precedence. And if some boards view a statute one way and other boards view it another way, perhaps in this case the Army Correction Board reviewed it at least initially another way, then...
I haven't heard your answer to Judge Chen's question about whether the government is disavowing those cases. Is that a yes or no?
I don't want to say that we disavow them, but if to the extent they conflict with this, we disagree with them because we believe that this is the correct decision and that they may have differences that are may be distinguishable on the facts, but to the extent that they conflict with Judge Hertling's decision, we think this is the correct reading.
My last question goes back to 1552F and the phrase related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases. That last piece of that phrase, pertaining to court-martial cases, why shouldn't we read that entire phrase so that it's necessarily confined to administrative records, whatever that term means, that are a function of the court-martial case itself and not necessarily any other form that could be regarded as a military record, including personnel file, HR forms, that happen to say the word court-martial on it?
Because... I think, again, in the decision, it was explained that you have a separate section that would almost be rendered meaningless because it would be covered by the court-martial record part. There's more than just the record of trial or the indictment or whatever they call it at the court-martial record, that everything that is happens in that criminal.
If this particular form 214 was altered, so it erased court-martial and instead said secretarial authority, the government wouldn't view that as overturning or setting aside the actual court-martial conviction.
Well,
correct?
it would look like it would
but
be.
But it's not actually doing.
No,
that
it would not.
Act.
It would not, Your Honor. However, it would convey an incorrect picture of the service, which is what the 214 is for. And it would essentially cancel, at least on the most important administrative document that every service member has, it would essentially cancel the court-martial as the reason for the separation. And, you know, that's a radical thing to do.
Okay. Can I ask you one other question, when I look at your interpretation of related administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases, it seems as if you're reinterpreting that to be, or maybe this would have been an easier way for Congress to say what you wanted to say, which is related administrative records pertaining to a military person's court-martial conviction. It's like you're looking at the particular person and what their record says, as opposed to a category of documents. Do you have a response to that? Because I feel like I don't know very many cases where the category of document is going to change based on who it is and what it says.
Well, I think as I look at that language, it seems to refer to the particular record of the particular service member.
Says administrative records pertaining to court-martial cases, right?
Right, but I think
and so your view is.
I think it has to be looked at in context of the specific facts of the particular case, even though it uses plural. So I think in this case it applies to these facts. That's how we read it.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Schroeder, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll now hear rebuttal from Mr. Herman.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I'd like to start with Judge Chen's assertion that this Court can, in fact, rule for Mr. Labonte on the theory that the DD-214 does not need to be changed to grant medical retirement. Fundamentally, Mr. Labonte is seeking benefits. He is not seeking a form change. And despite repeated direct questions in the briefing and from this panel, the government has not pointed to a single authority mandating that the DD-214 form must be changed. And on that theory alone, the decision below should be vacated.
So just so I understand, the complaint in front of the claims court was seeking to have the claims court force the corrections board to make this particular correction to Form 214, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Labonte does want this form to be changed.
But if you're right that that particular form doesn't need to be changed, then I'm just wondering, is this the right avenue to go through in order to make your claim for disability?
I understand. Your Honor, the ABCMR was the correct avenue to go through because fundamentally Mr. Labonte, again, was seeking medical retirement. And the appeal to the Court of Federal Claims included the issue about the DD-214 and whether or not it could be changed, specifically because that was the reason that the ABCMR appeared to incorrectly deny his claim in the first place. And so appealing on the nature of the form and what could be altered was relevant. But fundamentally, when Mr. Labonte was before the ABCMR, he was just asking for medical retirement and wanted to be heard on the merits of his case.
Sherman, if that, assuming for the moment that you don't have to change the DD-214 form to award him medical or disability retirement, which is what you're saying, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
What would the board have to do? In other words, what would the board have to tell the military department to do?
This speaks to a question Your Honor asked to my colleague about what records would actually be generated. If Mr. Labonte, if wins before this court and goes back to the Court of Federal Claims, what he's seeking is to be entered into the PEB or MEB discharge process. And that would generate records on its own, reflecting that he's qualified to be discharged via medical retirement. And so that would be essentially what the board is telling the Army to do, would be to
put it. So those are the records with quotes around the word records, because it's a term of art when we're dealing with the ABCMR. That's what would be changed if he was successful in the Court of Federal Claims.
Yes, Your Honor. I'd also like to clarify to a little bit the discussion that occurred earlier about what qualifies as a related record under Mr. Labonte's proposed interpretation of the statute.
Related administrative record.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. A related administrative record pertaining to a court-martial. This category, we believe, refers to documents within the military justice system, but similar to documents that would be generated by a clerk's office. So not documents such as a written summary or a decision, but documents that are maintained within that system and are produced by that system. So Section 1552F is essentially trying to insulate the products of that system so that those products cannot be altered by outside forces. And so we provide a number of examples.
So what if 1552F just said any and all records of court-martials? And would that not include these types of records that you're referring to that are coming out of the clerk's office?
Your Honor, yes, that phrase would also include these, but we believe that that phrase would be even broader. Congress could have adopted a magic words interpretation here, saying that any document that has the words court-martial anywhere in the military system is a related record, but it didn't say that. The Congress's intent here, as illustrated through the Senate report, was to protect the products of the military justice system. And so we believe that the language adopted in Section 1552F reflects a desire to be narrow in that exception to the broad authority in Section 1552A. But lastly, I see that my time is expiring.
Can I ask you a question? Don't worry about your time right now.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
So my question to you is, how is your answer that you just gave consistent with the statutory definition of record, which includes broadly or other writing relating to the proceedings? I think I understand your answer to be saying, yet Congress provided this language about related administrative records pertaining to the court-martial just to make sure they captured everything. But mm-hmm. my question is, I mean, if we're going to refer to the statutory definition, which we kind of presume that Congress legislates with an understanding of statutory definitions, why isn't there proposed language overkill if it's just limited to the UCMJ record?
Well, so, Your Honor, I think you're referring to the definition as provided in Section 80114, if that's correct. By the plain language, which we agree is important, Section 80114's definition should not apply here. The section actually starts in this chapter, and Section 80114 sits in Chapter 47, whereas Section 1552 sits in Chapter 79. So we don't believe that that definition should necessarily control here. But even if it does, we've provided a couple of examples, for example, on page 17 of our reply brief, of documents that fall outside of the 80114 definition, but still within the military justice system and related to a court-martial. For example, we point to the DA Form 7568, or copy of the commander's checklist for pretrial confinement, which could not reasonably be portrayed under 80114. So our definition is consistent across chapters, but we still don't believe that that definition of record of court-martial should even apply in this context.
As I understand your position, records of court-martial tracks the regulatory definition for court-martial record, and the definition for related administrative records pertaining to court-martial records refers to everything under the definition for record of trial that does not include the things that make up a court-martial record. Is that your position?
We believe that there are...
A carve-out of record of trial of everything that's deemed a court-martial record to fall within the meaning of related administrative record?
Sorry. Yes, Your Honor. We do believe that that carve-out is meant to include things such as the record of trial.
Seems like a peculiar way to define the statutory meaning of related administrative record. Doesn't it?
Well, no, we don't believe so, Your Honor. We think that the phrase related administrative records pertaining to a court-martial might go beyond just the record of trial. The example that I just provided, the DA Form 7568, would not really be considered a record of trial. It's a document that's produced by the military justice system before the court-martial process has even begun. And so it's related to his court-martial because it occurred maybe earlier in the process, but it's not a record of trial. So the first question that we would ask by Section 1552F is whether the document was produced within that system. And a DD-214 is not. It's more equivalent to a document from an HR department than a clerk's office. It sits entirely outside of that system and would never be touched or created by a judge advocate. So we don't...
Let me ask you just one quick question. And the DD-214 form, who... in the first instance, prepares it? Does the Army prepare it in conjunction with the Department of Defense, or is it mutual, or is it just Department of Defense that does? Who prepares that form?
Your Honor, I believe that it's built both within the Army and the Department of Defense, but if I may confer with my co-counsel quickly. Okay, I believe that that's the case, but I would have to refer again. Okay. Yes. And so if I may very briefly conclude, yep. Under the theory that the DD-214 doesn't need to be changed, Ms. Labonte wins. Under the interpretation of Section 1552F, we still believe that Mr. Labonte wins, but at most, the reach of the government's argument here is that Box 28 is related. They never even attempted to argue that Box 23 is also a related record. And that's the box that Mr. Labonte would actually need to be changed under standard practice. So to fully effectuate his clemency, we ask this court to vacate the decision below and remand for further proceedings on the merits of Mr. Labonte's case. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The case is submitted. Appreciate the arguments. Very helpful.